All I know is I got off the phone. Lisa says, "Who was that on the phone?" I said, "Oh, Mari, you're not doing any of his harebrained schemes, are you?" like you're my Kramer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. Podcast about the general nonsense in our lives and yours probably as well. Thanks for joining us. It's late March 2024. We're in the heart of...
I'd like to chime in for a second.
Yeah,
we were supposed to start this thing on the top of the hour sharp. And of course, we started 17 minutes past the top of the hour. So I'm thinking out of all the podcasts, there's so many podcasts that exist, right? Probably what, 5 million different podcasts?
5 million, right? Give or take.
Like, we're definitely in the top 4.8 million of the 5 million out there.
No question.
Right? But I will say we're number one in one thing, at least top one percentile. Damn. The longest time between us trying to start the podcast and when we actually start recording it.
I can't imagine there's anyone worse than us.
Yeah.
What's the average? Is it probably 23 minutes? It's probably something like that.
It's easily 23 minutes. Yeah. If not worse.
We're at 17 minutes today. This is
Are there common culprits?
Yes. Is it, what do you
Well, let, you know what? Hold on. We'll let our listeners decide.
Let who decide?
Our listeners.
How are they going to decide? They don't hear it.
Oh, that's
fair. we've given it away.
All right. Listen, you stepped all over Dave's intro for something that was completely pointless.
Yeah.
It's interesting. No, we're the best at something. We can finally say that we're the best at something.
Yes. Yeah. You know what's funny is that you killed 17 minutes before the podcast, and now you're killing the first four of the podcast.
And I even prepped. I had my intro all prepped.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Fine. I won't be funny. I will no longer ever interrupt any of your intros from now until perpetuity. I'm saying
it
today.
You can do it.
Our 63rd podcast, whatever number this is.
If it's A material.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that was C minus.
All right. Yeah. So C's are the new A's, apparently.
Yeah. But, let's start from the top.
C's get degrees. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
You were saying episode 66, I think.
Okay. It's late March 2024, the height of March Madness. And this is episode 66 that we're on. I am your host, Dave, sitting back in the saddle in St. Louis, finally, which is helpful for my recording equipment and everything else. And along with me, sitting to my right, is Josh. Josh, how are you doing this week?
They don't know you're right. And when I put it on the video, sometimes I'm on your left.
I know. I want that to be my thing. So that's
I get it. Okay. I get it. I'm doing all right. I had a little thing that bothered the hell out of me the other day. I wanted to see if you guys experienced it.
Josh looked in the mirror again.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. That was A material. That was a good interruption. Good chime in. I'm going to give you that one. I'll applaud that one.
Thank you.
You know, a broken clock. Anyway, so I had a doctor's appointment, okay? And this is something I've complained about in the past of just dealing with people, and I'd rather deal with machines and kiosks and, you know, touch screens like when you order food and all that stuff. So my doctor has a new system where it's a check-in on your phone, which is great. So it's no longer – and this was, by the way, it's a new doctor, so you don't have to fill out – you know, they give you that clipboard, and then you got to sit there like an idiot and fill out all this stuff and remember all your family history and check off all these things. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But this one was awesome. It came on my phone and said, you can pre-check in on your phone. And it was the same thing as the clipboard. And I'm like, this is great. It even went where I could scan in my insurance card, front and back, put that in there. And it was great. I'm like, good. I don't have to show up 15, 20 minutes early. I could just be there. They have all my stuff. This is wonderful. So I do the check-in. I go to my doctor's appointment the next day. And I said, okay, you know, checking in, blah, blah, blah. I have an 11 o'clock. And she says, I with doctor or whatever. And she says, okay, do you have insurance? And I said, yeah, I have insurance. I sent it to you. I did the pre-check-in. She goes, oh, great. You did the pre-check-in. And then she's clicking away at her keyboard. And she goes, do you have your insurance card with you? I said, no, I don't have my insurance card with you because I did the pre-check-in. I scanned it in. She goes, we don't seem to have it.
Oh, boy.
And we don't really have your medical history either. I'm like, what? What was the point? So she hands me a clipboard.
Oh, no. Is that
what
right?
What was the point of all that? It's like, it's the same thing. Like when you call customer service sometimes and they say, like, put in your account number and then push pound. And then you put in your account number, put in your date of birth and then push pound. You do that. And then you finally get a person and they go, who am I speaking with? And you tell them, they go, okay, what's your date of birth? What's your account? I go, what is the point of me putting it in? I don't understand this.
That bothers me too. I was going to use that exact example when you're talking about your doctor.
Right?
Why? And I have said to them, I just gave you my account number. I just punched it in. And
yes.
I'm like, oh, you got to give it to me again.
It's almost like every time too. There's very few where a person will pick up and go, okay, hey, Mr. So-and-so, I see that you're a customer, blah, 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 blah. And they have all your stuff from what you just keyed in.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It never happens that way. That's
no. It's fascinating that it's like we are reading each other's minds. Are you reading my messages or
are you being sarcastic, dude?
No, I'm not being sarcastic. My actual phenomenal topic is somewhat, it has a little bit of a crossover with this, but in a much more interesting, and exciting way.
That's not the first time that's happened where our topics somewhat mesh. That's
well,
that's
you, really and scary. Just like every other time, mine actually will be more interesting for the listeners.
We've been doing this so long, our cycles are synced.
yeah,
I think that's what's happening.
That's true.
Yeah,
but here's the good news with this is that when you think of like, have we reached the peak of technology enhancing our lives? This is showing us there's still a long way to go, right? I mean, having the app is a great first step. Actually, making it our lives easier is still in front of us. So there's things to look forward to, right?
I mean, there's nothing worse than going through the same rigmarole twice.
Yeah,
right. Twice. You want to make my life easier? Great. But don't pretend like it's easier and then hit me with the same exact thing again.
Yeah. How many times can you put down shingles in front of the memory of that poor
It's
experience.
So funny because I had shingles. How long ago was shingles? A couple years ago? Something like that?
Episode, you had shingles before shingles was cool.
That's correct. I made shingles cool. And I just re-listened to that episode, Dave, and it brought back all the pain.
Oh, man.
I just forgot how painful that really, really was.
That flight you took?
Yes. I took a flight with shingles. Probably highly contagious. Highly contagious.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm doing all right.
All right. Well, good. And my other host, who's to my left, which isn't actually even
here, you
true
go again.
To the, is Omar. Omar, how are you doing?
This was the age before beauty introduction. Do you guys?
That's not true by definition.
It's all relative, Josh.
I'm still in my 40s, boys.
Well, it depends on how you're measuring, right?
By years lived.
I'm not sure what that means anymore. If you look at the ancient Druids, for example, they had different definitions of time.
Mm.
And I was born very close to leap year, so take that.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
So you're saying you're 25% of the age that says on your driver's license?
I would say closer to 33.
All right.
33% less. So do you guys how often do you guys have faux outrage that actually does? How often do you guys have faux outrage about things?
Faux or full?
Faux and then that faux and F-A-U-X.
Yeah, right. Oh, I rarely have faux outrage. Rarely. I don't like faux outrage. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I don't. Either full or faux. I don't express anger very often.
So
Stop. Dave, I've seen I've seen you angry a couple times.
When?
Yeah,
when has David ever been angry?
A couple times means it's infrequent, right?
That's true. That's exactly
is it that one time you stepped on his toe? Like, what happened? How does Dave get angry?
We talked about this a long time ago, but Dave has a loyalty to his friends, and when he sees something occur or happen to them in a negative way, he takes to their side, and he does so very aggressively.
It's never happened with me.
And I've seen it twice. It hasn't happened to you, Omar. That's true.
It's strangely confrontational, but the level of push, the point of no return is high. It's high.
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah. So I would say I was out the other night, which isn't often, in actually New York. I was in Sag Harbor at this very, very beautiful bar.
By the way, Sag Harbor, for all those who are listening, is what modest people say when they really mean the Hamptons.
Yeah. Well, technically, it's technically not in the Hamptons, number one.
Yeah. It's the Hamptons.
But fair. So at any rate, I'm at this restaurant that's called Bilbo K, which is a fancy French, and they opened up this beautiful space that they took over. And it's one of those, my favorite kinds of bars, the circular bars, you know, where you can see people on the other side of the bar drinking, wave at them.
Sure.
You know, maybe send them a drink, whatever, roofie. Maybe not.
Oh, jeez.
That's wait. Sorry, going down the wrong path here.
A Rudy Lada.
I'm there, and you know what I'm wearing. I'm wearing this. Actually, you know what? I'm wearing this and my gray hoodie, which I had on. Actually, I'll put it back on again. This is what I'm wearing.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Ski hat. And
for the it's a podcast, so you're wearing a ski hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm wearing a gray beanie. I'm wearing my Lou Miles doggy hoodie. That's what I was wearing. I'm wearing my Lou necklace and my sunglasses.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I'm with my friends, and then these two guys come to the bar, and I could see them, and they see us, right? And they're kind of looking at me a little bit, and then I notice one of the guys opens up his backpack, takes out a gray beanie, and then puts it on his head.
Oh, I thought you were going to say,
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Hold on. I thought you were going to say a gun or a knife, and I was like, oh my God, where is this going?
No. Go ahead. I am. And so I couldn't believe this. And I'm like, wait a second. I'm the guy with the beanie on in this place. There can't be two people with a beanie on. I was there first.
Omar, can I ask, was he Pakistani?
No, no.
A white dude, just a normal white dude?
Yes. Ugh, yeah. So and so
what did
and
you do?
Appropriating your culture.
Appropriating something even more precious to me, my style.
Yeah, you
care about my culture. I don't have no culture. I was raised in America. I'm a coconut, dude. I'm a coconut, brown on the outside, white on the inside. We all know this. We all know this, right?
Yes.
So, but at any rate, these guys, I mean, and so I got upset and I didn't do it. And eventually the guy stood down. Right,
He took it off. Stood down.
He took off the beanie.
Did you stare at him and give him a
they were staring at me. Actually, they might have been, you know, on the other team, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But
all right. Well, that's flattering.
Yeah, it is flattering.
Yeah.
So there was eye contact, and then the other, you know, when you have these circular bars, these things happen on the other side of the bar. Our bartender was terrible, and I realized why. Whenever we went to the register, there was this one guy who was having a drink by himself, and he wouldn't stop talking to the bartender. Mm-hmm. So the bartender was locked in. He couldn't really go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So I said, excuse me, because he was doing it again, this guy, talking to the bartender.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said across the bar, excuse me, hi, I'm so sorry. I will buy you a drink if he can come get us a drink. He keeps on getting stuck whenever he goes to the register. I go, you must be that charming. I said it like that.
Boy.
I said it with a smile.
Yeah,
and
but it's passive aggressive.
Somebody needed to say something to this guy.
Passive aggressive.
He was like you, David. When you made the introductions, I knew you weren't going to do this. What does my screen say as my name?
Josh is a tyrant.
Josh is a tyrant. Yeah. That guy was a tyrant.
Worse than me?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. You had to think about it too long.
Because there was more than two people at the bar. Dave and I take all the pain. So if you could do it for multiple people, he did it. Found a bottleneck. One bartender. Sit by the register, talk to them. Everybody at the bar is going to eventually buy you a drink. So you stop talking to them.
Who are you blaming? Are you blaming the patron or the bartender?
Well, the one common thread between both these stories, they were both white males. So besides blaming white males, I would, which is, you know, I think always my sweet spot.
Yeah, of course. Did you tell them, by the way? Did you inform the bartender that you were indeed a coconut?
That I what?
That you were a coconut.
No.
And that he should serve you as well because you're white on the inside.
No. I'm not Johnny Cochran here, Josh. I'm not going to play the race card, you know, whenever I can, right?
It was your line, not mine.
Yeah. Well, I would say that, like, these are things, and I was outraged at both of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I took action in the second explicitly.
And how did it go?
And I'll tell you something, Dave, Josh, we got our drinks. Real fast. I do.
Did they give you any lip afterwards? Any
other people at the bar gave me one of these.
They applauded you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And excuse me, the audience they cheered me. They faux cheered me from across the bar.
Raised their glass to you. They raised their glass to you and your efforts.
Yep.
That's gotta feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Still went home alone, but whatever.
Yeah, that's all right. Good for you, though.
Well, that's because you turned the guy in the beanie down.
That's right.
Yeah, that part of the story we kind of overlooked a little bit. The fact that no one else is allowed to wear a gray beanie other than you.
Okay. If you walk in a place and you have something, like somebody has a Phillies hat on, like Josh is wearing a Phillies hat on, and you walk in without a Phillies hat on, and then you see the person wearing, you openly acknowledge them being there, and then you take yours out and put it on.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Am I at a Phillies game?
No. Let me ask you this. Far.
Omar, let me reverse it for a second. Let's say you're wearing your uniform, right?
Yes.
Your white hoodie, gray beanie.
Yes.
And you're wearing it when you walk into a bar and you notice there's a guy at the bar and he's wearing the exact same gray beanie, but he's wearing it as you're walking into the bar, you notice it. Do you take yours off?
Yes, I probably do. And probably at some point, if I'm so inclined, I would go over to this person and ask them to take theirs off so I can put mine back on again.
What?
Out of bounds.
There's no room in the bar for two gray beanies. Is that what you're telling me?
I tell you what there's always room for is interaction at the bar. And that's a funny way to talk to somebody, to meet someone.
So you're doing it to break the ice. You're not doing it.
Well, I mean, no. I'm doing it to create a memory.
All right.
That's what we do here every day, guys. Oh, I'm sorry, listeners. Maybe one out of every seven episodes.
Yeah, we create memories.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
All right. It's a good story.
Very good.
Weird, but a good story.
Is it a C minus?
No, it's an A for weirdness.
Ooh, I've seen two A's now, Dave. This is good. I'm trending up.
You're almost in the honor roll.
Yeah. All right. Well, now it's my turn. Someone asked
Dave,
how
are you doing? How are you doing, Dave?
Thank you. I'm doing pretty good. This week, I bought a new car. I'm pretty excited about.
Ooh.
I did.
Did you pay extra to keep the new car smell? You know, that's one of the options now.
Is it?
Yeah, you can pay if you pay. Everybody wants recurring revenue.
Right.
SaaS for our listeners is subscription as what does it stand for?
As a service.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the new. This is a new subscription. Is you keep your car keeping hat that with that new car smell?
Yeah, Dave. Could you know what's hilarious? Do you know what's weird?
What
I picked up a new car yesterday.
Did you really?
Yes.
Did you really? And
my lease was up. Yeah.
Okay. So this funny. Was. This
Are we on
was
the same lease schedule?
Yeah, everything is syncing up here.
We're syncing up completely.
But my at least I want to just be over with it. I don't like the it's subscriptions for streaming services, bring it on. Because it feels like I'm getting more content with a fixed price. With a car, it's a single known thing. I just want to get that price off my hands and be done with it.
All right.
But my experience was this, and tell me what you guys would do. I tried very hard to negotiate the price.
It's one of my favorite things is shopping for a new car.
Terrible at it. I'm terrible. I prep myself to negotiate. I go in and I say, I'm just going to get a price. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And I came very close to not leaving. This was weeks ago, but I did leave. And then sure enough, within hours, I'm getting texts like, hey, what can we do? What can we do?
There you
but
go.
They weren't budging when I was sitting at the desk. So they must have a note from me from when I bought the last one. Like, just wait this sucker out. He buys wholesale. Yeah.
Guy will cave.
So we ended up doing negotiation by text more, and that was much easier for me. So I thought, but I was going to call their dealerships, but I didn't end up doing that because
you can do that.
I know.
You play them off one another.
I didn't do it this time, but
that's the way to go.
I did get it down, and I kept trying to say, can you throw some extra things on?
Yeah.
Rather than bring the price down, they weren't budging.
Then finally, get that undercoating?
No, I didn't get the undercoating. I did get massage seats in my car.
Whoa.
Yes. I didn't know that was a thing, but
Now. Yeah.
To Wisconsin. I thought, ooh, getting a massage roller in your seat, I thought.
And watch you fall asleep and go right off the road.
Yeah. Well, there's a camera that watches you that if you fall asleep, it'll pull itself over.
What?
Yes.
That's incredible.
This car is really something. But my point of my story is I got to the very end and he said, so you're going to finance, how much are you going to finance? I said, no, I'm not financing it.
And you're walking away, cash deal.
Yeah, it was cash deal.
Look at you.
Yeah, really. That wasn't the point of my story. But
look at you two high rollers.
Yeah.
Omar tells a story about how he's in the Hamptons, and then you pick it up with, I'm buying a car with massage seats, cash deal.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Keep going.
So he says, okay. So then he goes off, and he comes back and says, hey, here's the thing. because I thought you were financing it. It's going to be $1,000 more.
More. Yeah. Because the financing is a big win for them.
But here's the thing. We talked about this weeks ago. I told him I was not going to finance. And now all of a sudden he's throwing this down. He's like, well, we're negotiating, whatever. And I was like, no, that's not true. And so we get to that moment of truth where I'm looking at it and it's just silent. He's sitting there saying nothing. I'm sitting there saying nothing. I literally know, like, the tactic is for him to wait for me to say something.
Someone's got to fill the dead space.
Did you say something?
I said, yes. Well, what would you do? What would you guys do?
Okay. I would say this is your tactic is not to talk. Can we just sign this, please? I'd love to have this car.
This is what I say. This is what I do. First of all, it's one of my favorite things and one of my least favorite things all rolled in one. Because I love the negotiation part. But once you strike a deal, then it's like you're in a hostage situation. You can't go anywhere for like 2 hours while they do your paperwork.
Oh, that's, yeah.
While they do your title check. And then it's a drag. It's awful. And then going and eating the stale donuts just to pass time while they're doing all your paperwork and nonsense like that. I hate that. But here's what you do. First of all, I wonder if it's possible. I've never paid for a car cash up front. So that's the first thing. But I wonder if you could have said, okay, I'll finance it. And then your first bill comes and you pay the whole thing off.
Well, but that's a hassle, right? That? Maybe. And he did say, well, you probably can finance just like a little bit of it. And he was giving me, I was like, this is where it comes down to, like, it's just $1,000. Now I want the car. It's sitting right there, right? So I just want to get out of here and go to dinner.
Yeah.
So at the moment of truth, I looked up and I'm like, I said, can you do something about this? And then silence. He goes, let me go see. He walks off. He's doing whatever, comes back. He said, I took care of it for you.
There you go.
So, anyway.
Good for you.
So anyway, that's my story, and got a new car, and looking forward to it. Yep.
Yeah, nice. There's no better feeling than getting a new car. I love that feeling.
Oh, it really is. It's
is that when is that when you most feel like a man, when you buy a car?
No, it's usually when I'm eating chicken in the tub. That's when I feel most manly.
That's a good question, because there is a sense of like good accomplishment question. With a new car or with a, you know, it's this house car. There's very few things.
I think like lighting a fire is one of those for me.
Yeah. Oh, lighting a fire, campfire. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a good one. That's a definitely good one.
And I meant like with those ever logs you put in the fireplace. But
well, that's
whatever.
Really not the same.
Hey, it's all relative for me.
That's true.
All right, let's kick off the episode. We're got to be mindful of time.
Yeah.
Let's see. So let me throw out a few things for you to pay attention to if you want to reach out to us. We have an email address, and that is friends@fts.media. Please reach out and let us know what you're thinking or talk about the show. There's also this DaveJoshOmar@gmail.com email.
Yes! Which we haven't gotten anything yet.
You made me so happy! I wasn't going to say anything.
I got it down.
We have two email addresses now, thanks to Omar.
Think about that. How many podcasts have two email addresses? Yeah. That's something else we're number one in.
Yes, that's true. I'm not sure.
DaveJoshOmar@gmail.com. Thank you.
Some things are differentiators for us. Some don't make sense. But we have a website, which is friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And we're on YouTube. You can search for us on YouTube. And we are on Instagram and TikTok at friendstalkingshop. Josh is doing a lot of good work on Instagram and TikTok.
Thank you.
If you are not subscribing to us on Instagram and TikTok, there's some funny stuff on there. So please.
A lot of extra content, as we title it. Extra content.
Right. Bonus.
Clips from old shows, short little bits. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Great stuff to share with your friends. All right. Let's kick off the episode. Omar, you seem to be like hopping in your seat. Why don't you go first this week?
Oh, wow. This is a first.
Well, it's really not, but okay.
Not a first, yeah.
It's not a first.
So I had something that's been happening going on for about 2 months or so now. So I
just put put some ointment on it and it will gradually go away.
You guys have you guys are clearly like Windows users.
Yes.
Guys are like you're like middle-aged older white males.
That's right.
What's the alternative?
Mac.
Apple.
Mac. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. See, he doesn't even know the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, as you know,
I should research that. Apple,
what is this Apple?
Is it like the fruit?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm very much a, you know, creative-esque type of person,
of course. Right?
At least in some ways. So people are always surprised, right? Like, oh, you're not a Mac person. I'm like, well, I'm a bit of a nonconformist. So, etc. Well, I'm getting, as some other people are too, obviously more acclimated to Mac type products. And I have a, you know, one giant monitor that I use in here, which is the Windows. And then when I travel, though, I do use the Mac book, right? One of those laptops. And so I'm like, you want to know what? I'm going to maybe go fully over. So I'm like, I'm going to get a Mac large screen, the Apple monitor.
All right.
And and then sort of plug my laptop in and go whenever I'm back home and whatever else and use it in general. So me being me, I'm like, what is the best Apple product? And it is called something, it's called an HDR screen.
Okay.
It costs $6,000.
They're beautiful.
For the monitor.
Yeah.
Just for the monitor.
Oh my God.
And it has like the highest like pixelization and like blah, blah, blah.
More than the computer.
Yeah.
But Josh,
yeah, it is the screen.
You want beautiful screens. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This is the most beautiful screen you can get on the market.
Okay.
And it has like 32-inch retina, 6K display, 16 nits of brightness.
16 nits?
Nits, so NITS, an astonishing 1,000,000:1 contrast ratio and super wide viewing angle. And over a billion colors represented with exceptional accuracy.
Do they name all the colors?
They don't name all the colors here.
Yeah.
But it is something that is
they have orange
provided. Orange is one of the colors. Yes.
Oh, okay. They got it all.
What are the chances?
Yeah, they got it all.
Yeah. So, you know, if you when you couple all these things together, it's a pretty badass monitor.
Sounds like it.
So I order it. Okay. It takes 6 weeks to arrive.
Well, because you live in Puerto Rico too. Factoring that part in?
That maybe cost it another day or two, but it wasn't because of that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And so
is it because of the kids in China that have to put it together by hand? It takes that long?
It had nothing to do with the kids in China per se. Maybe that may have been related to it.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Let's not think about that.
Let's not think about that. So, at any rate, as I'm saying, we actually get
use your big boy words.
I get the monitor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I open it up. I throw away the box, right?
Yeah.
And a monitor comes, and I'm like, "Where's the stand? There's no stand."
Are you kidding me? Dude, did you just open a second window? I mean, this is. If for those who are listening, Omar has now opened a second window. We have two Omars. I'm gonna do it. Don't. It's unbelievable what happens with this recording. Even when we have it right,
why did you do that?
You're in the middle
of your story, and you so
because I couldn't. I couldn't find the window where I could see you guys again on my computer.
Don't touch anything.
All right,
once we're going, don't touch anything. Were you looking up how many nits? That's what you were doing. How many nits?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God!
Should I press rejoin studio?
No, don't touch anything.
No, you're fine. Don't touch it.
You're good. Don't touch a thing.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to talk. So at any rate, there's no stand. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. That's
so I go back to the website. The stand is extra. That also costs like $800.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Okay. The stand comes in a week later.
Wait. Is it supposed to be mounted? Can it be mounted?
On a stand.
Okay. No.
If you, on the wall.
In other words, if you buy
a monitor. No.
There's no way for it to stand up.
Correct.
Stand.
Correct.
You don't mount it to anything without
Correct.
A stand.
Correct.
So in other words, that's a big FU from
Correct.
Apple saying, here's
Correct.
Your monitor. Oh, by the way,
Correct.
You can't
Correct.
Use it.
Well,
Absolutely.
With cords forever.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous. That's crazy.
So, okay. And, you know, I order the stand. And in the meanwhile, I like put the monitor in a safe space with the cover still on it. I haven't plugged it in or anything.
Yeah.
Stand eventually comes again another like week later,
oh,
right?
God.
I connect the monitor to the stand. The monitor doesn't work. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And I don't have the time. You know, whoever wants to call customer support? No one ever.
No one.
Right? So I eventually call like a week later on like a Sunday night.
A week later? You waited a whole week?
Yeah.
Well, I would do it right away. I would use that monitor.
And I talked to this woman who seems competent on the phone, Apple representative.
Okay.
And I tell her the whole situation. And she goes, I'm like, can you send me a new monitor? I don't have a box anymore. And she goes, no, we don't do that. But we can send you a box, okay, where you can put the monitor into. Once you send it back to us, then we can send you another monitor. I'm like,
listen,
I'm like, this is all crazy. Oh, wait, it gets better. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Do you always do that with high-priced, high-ticketed items where you throw out the box right away before you even try it to see if it works?
It's a premium product. It's like getting like a bag from Louis Vuitton. I'm not going to return it.
Well, a bag doesn't not work. That's different. I'm talking about something electronic. I never throw the box away until I test it.
Keep the box.
Always. Always.
Yeah, my dad, by the way, does that at Costco because Costco has a lifetime warranty on things.
So he keeps the box and returns
something after like 8 years. Yeah, I swear to God. And they give him a new one.
Good for him. That's fucking the system.
Yeah. My dad's brilliant.
You can't.
So she's like, okay, great. So I'm like, okay, you know, if that's the way you guys do it, I guess that sounds fine to me.
Yeah.
That evening, I get an email from Apple about confirming a return. It's for the stand. It wasn't even for the monitor. She put the wrong information in.
God, they
not for the monitor. And again, I'm traveling. Whatever life happens, I'm obviously a little frustrated to say the least. And I'm like, I can't even deal with this, right? So, long story a little shorter. I call back 2 weeks later. Okay, 2 weeks later. Because I don't, whatever. And I try and explain what happens. And they're like, we're so sorry, sir. You know, we can, it would, you know, you need to return the item first. And I'm like, this is already taking way too long. Why can't you send me a new monitor? And he goes, well, we can't do that, but we can give you $150, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, listen,
it's nothing.
Without going into too much more detail, I said to them, look, I am trying to convert to your product. I have my team uses Max.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it. And this has been a horrible customer experience. So bad that in fact, I'm going to return it. I don't want it.
You credit my account. Now.
Huh?
You want a full refund. You're done.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, you've lost me as a customer. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, now if I could talk to your manager, otherwise I'm exasperated. This is not working. This is not working for me. And he goes, well, do you want a refund? I go, yes, unless I can talk to someone who you work for. Again, I understand that you're doing a great job. They connect me with the person. It takes half an hour. I'm on hold.
Yeah, of course.
The manager comes on.
Of course.
And she says to me, by the way, what I didn't go through is in that previous phone call, I walked through the entire previous iteration I had with Apple.
This is you're spot on because
this is what you referred to earlier.
This is what I was referring to also. And the other aspect of this, and I'm glad you brought this up, is how many times do you call customer service and you say, listen, here's what happened. A, B, C, and D. I need this fixed. And they go, okay, I'm going to have to transfer you over to this department. And you do it, and then you got to do the story all over again.
Yep.
Right.
It's even worse when they make the introduction, they say, we filled so-and-so in on all the details.
And they never do.
And they never did.
And this,
and Apple, they never did either.
Yeah, of course.
So I had to go through with this woman all over again.
Oh my God. She goes,
well, first of all, we don't send out this empty boxes. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not calling here because of whatever reason. Right?
Yeah.
I'm calling here. Miles, stop it. I'm calling here because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. She goes, well, I'm like, and I walked her through everything. She goes, well, we don't really do this. I'm like, well, that's fine. If you don't do it as a premium product, that's fine. I'm telling you it's a mistake. I'm literally building, you know, I'm a business builder, my Mac, I'm trying to be a customer and you're making it difficult. This should never happen with Apple. I guess I'm going to stick with Dell or with HP or some other Chinese owned company. At least I'll get better service. I can't believe that we're having this conversation. I feel like I'm being punked.
Yeah. Yes.
And she said to me, eventually she like changed her mind and she said, sir, we will send you a new monitor right now.
Good for you.
And please use that box to return the old one. And I got the new monitor today.
And
I'm like, wow, I actually created a positive outcome.
You did. Can I ask you a question? Did they make you did they charge you for a second monitor?
Nope.
Oh, they didn't even do that.
No. And that's my point. Think about this.
Yeah.
I actually changed the course of history.
Well, let's not go that far.
Well, certainly. my own history.
Yes, that's true. Well, yes, that is true. Steve Jobs is rolling in his
and brain. Apple, and I would argue, Apple's customer service history. How many customers have been able to convert that with Apple? I would argue maybe five in the history of the entire firm.
Now, you do know.
You're welcome.
You do know that I have a similar accolade with customer service that I talked about prior with my cell phone service that I was sold a bag of goods.
Right.
They were completely phone. And if you remember correctly, what ended up happening was I went to the local news to draw attention to it. And then they back down and they use my phone calls, the recordings from my phone calls, to train their employees about this.
That's
at
really
least
impressive.
That's what they told me.
How quickly did you go to the news, though?
It took a while. It was not right away. It was but not right away at
you,
all.
At some point along the story, you said, I'm taking this to the
because
press.
It was so egregious, Dave. It was so egregious. They literally told me if I switched to this cell phone, I was getting all new phones, by the way, too, for the family. I would have X, Y, and Z, and they would give me all these things, and I had it all recorded. It was all recorded. The woman told me all this stuff. Turned out none of it was true. Mm. And they were charging me like 4X the amount that I thought.
How long were you on this call for?
This was a series of calls.
Yeah, that's the thing, Josh. It took me one phone call. David, do you see what's going on here? Josh, you always do this. This is my time.
This is your time. I apologize. Yeah, yeah.
I'm kidding.
He's just changing history.
I'm not. Yeah. I truly apologize. You've altered history as we
know. So do you think that I guess my question to you guys is Josh, you've done it. I wonder what percentage of our friends would be able to do that. I don't think very many.
You know what's funny, Omar, is that it's weird. As aggravating as it is, I kind of like doing it. I kind of like calling customer service and flexing a little on the other side of the phone and seeing if you can get what you rightfully deserve. I'm pretty good at it. I'm gonna put modesty aside here. I've had various successes.
That's because you don't have a muscle that gets uncomfortable when it gets uncomfortable. You know,
very true,
right? Yeah. You'll muscle through the.
And I'm a dog on a bone. I'm not letting go.
You got to do that, right?
Yeah. But I mean, look, I have this speaker. I actually put it in my closet. This ridiculous expensive speaker that costs like X amount, right? And it stopped working.
Oh my gosh! I bought that speaker, Omar. It's the one on the stand.
Yeah, did you?
It's not working either.
Oh my god! There you go. And by the way, I bought one for Tiedemann. Same thing. Doesn't work.
What are you going to do about that?
I emailed them. They took a month or two to respond. They asked for the serial number. I sent them a serial number. Nothing back.
Oh great!
Can you call? Are you going to call?
No. See, I draw the line there. I don't want to. I don't know why. Because I mean, I should because I bought it. I bought two of them.
Well, and got one. So we got three of these speakers we got to fix because I used it one summer.
You want to know what, David, send me the serial number of yours, and I'm going to have someone from my team do it because it's ridiculous. This is a conspiracy at this point.
Boy, yeah, this is a good podcast. We're getting stuff done today.
We're getting stuff done.
This is our Ralph Nader podcast.
But I saw your speaker. You said it was so good. It's as heavy as can be. This thing is. It's basically
a dumbbell, or weird dumbbells for buying it.
Yeah,
it's so true.
And you know what's amazing too, but now is that customer service numbers are not as easy to get anymore as they used to be. They used to be very prominent. If you're having a problem, call this number. Now they want you to send an email, and they don't even give you an email address. Well, it's like one of those. Fill out your name, fill out the subject. What's wrong? And fill out this.
This is actually interesting, and I know we're short on time, but I mean, I guess we can't bring this up, but it's going to be interesting how AI takes this when you actually talk to an AI bot and how that navigates stuff like that. Josh, you and I could typically, create gold out of sludge.
Yes,
that's more to come because I'm going to send you my serial number. Let's use the podcast.
We'll follow up on
as
this
a investigative, report. Here.
So before we put a bow on this, Omar, so what did you do? Did you take the new – are you going to try to use the new monitor?
The new monitor just came in today.
Right. Are you going to send back the old one and keep the new one?
No, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, keep it.
I'm going to keep it and sell it on eBay. No, I'm going to return it.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, that's
– does it work? Does the new one work? Did you try
it? I haven't opened it up yet.
Oh, gee. Don't throw away the box.
I will not throw away the box.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay.
Good topic. Good topic. All right, Josh, how about you? What's your topic this week?
Yeah, so this one is very, very different than Omar's, but still involves trauma. Maybe you'll the best appreciate kind. It. Yeah. So I go to this place once or twice a week called the Stretch Zone. And it's the place is great. My body's a mess and I need I need expert stretching to kind of snap me out because I have bad back and a bad knee, whatever. It's all irrelevant.
Is it a subscription model, this place?
Yeah, so you can do it that way. You can do it a la carte where you go in and pay per session, or you can buy a bunch of sessions up front, which is what I did.
Okay.
Which is what I did.
Right.
And this is after going to chiropractors and all the other stuff. And I'm like, I got to try something new. And the Stretch Zone's been great. And the people there are awesome. And they have, I've kind of become friendly with them now that I've gone for quite a period of time. I know all of them first name. They, hey Josh, when I walk in, we're not going out casually. This is just a very amicable situation when I walk into the place. It's very nice. It's actually makes the whole experience even that much better. And they started like a question of the week, that we kind of talked about together, and it's neat, and it facilitates all sorts of discussion while you're getting stretched, and it's pretty cool. But one of the questions of the week, I can't remember what it was, but it led to a discussion on like trauma in your life, right?
Goodness.
Yes, but no, not in a comical way.
In a lighthearted way.
Yeah, in a lighthearted way.
Okay.
And I started to think about, because we were talking about like, did you have childhood trauma? And I thought, you know what? I started to really think about it. And I said, I actually just remembered a couple instances. And I'm just wondering, number one, we're all the same age. So one's a little bit more local to me, but still made national news. And I'm wondering if you guys remember it. But the first, you'll definitely remember. So in 1986, I was in class. I remember being in class. I was 1986. I was 12 years old. And there was, they were showing, the teacher wheeled in a big TV. Remember those TVs that were on the AV stand, and they're the big tube TVs, and they plug it in. And we were going to watch the space shuttle launch of Krista McAuliffe, the first teacher in space.
Right.
Do you remember this?
The space. Oh, God. Teacher? Are you really going to talk about this?
I am. And for everyone who doesn't remember, we're all little kids in class, and we're watching. It's a very exciting a space shuttle launch, and it's the first teacher ever in space. And the shuttle goes up, and then boom, it explodes, and they all died. And we were kind of like, "Oh my God, what has happened?" And you didn't really know what happened at first. And then the news came on, and I remember the teacher's like, "Oh geez," and like turned it off.
Just turn it off.
Yeah, and wheeled it out. Not like we sat there and watched it for an hour, but it was like, wow, that when you're that age, and you see that, really traumatic, right?
Yeah.
And then a year later, almost to the day, by the way, that was January 86, January 87, I'm sitting there. I'm 13 years old. I'm sitting there. My parents always watched the news, the local news. And I was in the room, and I remember it vividly. There was a press conference, and there was a state representative, a guy named Bud Dwyer. And Bud, do you remember? Does that name ring a bell to either of you?
No.
So Buck Wild?
No, Bud Dwyer. And he was a PA, Pennsylvania State Representative. Are the police after you, Omar? Is that
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
sorry. Can you hear that? Hold on.
Are you pumping that in?
Did they hear about the monitor? We hear it. You don't have to adjust anything on your mic. We hear it loud and clear.
Yeah, don't touch anyway, anything. Don't touch anything.
Bud Dwyer was indicted, and he was going to go to prison, basically.
Buck Wild was going to go to prison. Okay, yes. Go on.
And it was a live news press conference, live news. And he comes to the podium, and he, as he's going to the podium, he hands out these envelopes to a bunch of people in the room, right? Stands at the podium, takes out a brown paper bag, and then in the brown paper bag is a pistol. This is on live news. Puts it in his mouth. What is going on in your neighborhood? Puts it in his mouth.
That's good background.
He puts it in his mouth and pulls the trigger and blows his brains out on TV. Live TV. I'm 13 years old watching this.
You have the worst topics. They're always so morbid or like involving poop. What, David? What is this fucking CSI? What are we doing here? Or that movie Saw?
This is the topic. I'm trying to explain.
You're
something
not very
to you.
Empathetic. I'm trying to set it up. Childhood trauma.
I'm trying to set it up, and I'm telling this to the people at the Stretch Zone. Some of them are like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And others are like, no, not. And what's funny, it's hilarious because there's four tables and there's other people getting stretched as I'm talking to, as we're having this conversation. It was quite ridiculous. And then I thought, like, you know what? I really don't have much trauma from either event. Like, it doesn't seem to have affected me in a very, you know, like, significant, lasting way, because I had to remember those and I went, oh yeah, I remember those. Boy, those were awful incidents. But wouldn't those incidents, if you see those as a kid, wouldn't they just complete? Why am I not having some sort of something from that? Or yeah. What?
Interesting.
Do you guys have anything like that? Do you remember the space shuttle? You remember, did that affect you at all? That's what I'm trying to get at. Is anything like that in your childhood traumatically that affected you like that? Still sticks to you to this day?
I remember I was in high school. You probably were too, Omar, when the space shuttle happened. And I remember it was announced. I was in accounting class and it was announced over the speaker. Just want to let you all know.
I was in high school when OJ was evicted.
You were not in high school because I was in college when that happened and you're older than me.
Whatever.
Well, you were held back though. You were held back several years. So it is possible you were in high school. What were you saying, Dave, before we were interrupted?
So it came across the speaker and we were all like, oh my gosh, and my accounting teacher said the words. I'll never forget. He said, well, the first teacher in space just went kablooey.
That's what he said.
Word wow. Word, and we were all
what
like,
a word.
That I was the product of kablooey? Public education.
It's a great word.
Yeah. That's what he said.
That's ridiculous.
He was a genius. He took my trauma and made it fun. You know, he turned it around.
And when you went home, did you go, hey, Mom and Dad, you hear about the kablooey? Yeah.
Like, go to your room. Yeah, that was the trauma. I got in trouble.
Was that guy fired? Did you not see the teacher?
I don't remember. No, my high school, I don't think that he was probably one of our shining stars back in the thing.
That's crazy.
My trauma was public high school. It was
your trauma was gym class.
Gym class. And my baseball coach had a small fungal bat. That, and every once in a while, he would literally do a cup check. So if you weren't wearing a cup, he
would
hit
you. With a fungo bat.
Yeah, he hit you. And so if you're wearing a cup, you're fine. That's trauma. That's trauma.
So that sticks with you more than that. Omar, do you got any childhood trauma that sticks with you to this day?
When you say sticks with you, like, what does that mean exactly? You mean
so in other words, here's what I'll equate it to. Like, there's – I can really – it's, I don't know what it says because, about me.
Like, when you ask me that and I think about, then I get to something fairly quickly, but it took me about, you know,
Omar,
30 seconds to get to it.
Right. And I'm not saying it's something you think about all the time, but what I'm saying is it's something that affects you when you recall it. So in other words, I'll give you this.
Oh,
example.
I see.
There's one thing that really affects me when I recall it. And,
You
know, outside of personal stuff. I'm talking just like in a general global sense. And that was like 9/11. When I rethink of 9/11 and where I was and, oh my, how I felt, that still gets me to this day, right?
Yeah.
Why, when I watched a guy blow his head off on TV when I was an adolescent, does that not haunt my dreams?
Maybe because it went kablooey.
The space shuttle went kablooey, not Bud Dwyer's head. I saw it. I saw it happen live. I watched a guy shoot himself on live television.
But
blow
did you
his
watch?
Out.
Were your parents conservative of the shows that you watched on TV back in?
Not really. My parents were pretty good about that.
I remember like people not being able to watch Three's Company, and I thought, really? I watched Three's Company.
That's
Love
a little.
Boat
that's
and,
crazy.
Well, back in the day, you know, that was kind of on cutting edge, right?
Well, my Amish friend, Seamus, never watched any of those shows.
Seamus.
Is that a joke?
I'm kidding. The Amish don't have TVs. Okay. That was a horrible
But I think the fact that the medium that you saw through was TV, which you probably saw all kinds of violence on TV. So in your little brain, you probably.
But this is different, Dave. This is not Schwarzenegger RoboCop violence.
If you were there in person, I bet you would have had a bigger impact.
That's a good point. That's a real good differentiation. That's
like
good
your
point,
mind. Right? You sort of disassociate reality because the medium is TV, right? It's like it happened. It's wow, shocking, but move on because that's what you do with TV shows, right?
Well, 9/11 was on TV. I wasn't there, but maybe I was older and more mature. Maybe I don't know.
Well, 9/11 is different because it wasn't just the event itself. It was like you knew everything's different now. Like I remember after 9/11 driving by a gas station, there was like a long line of cars thinking like, what is going on? Like my life is changing in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was so all of it was traumatic. Where those are isolated events.
I would just think that the Bud Dwyer shooting would replay in my head over and over like a nightmare, and it never did. I don't know.
I think it's because it's on TV, or that you're a sociopath. It's one of those two.
One of the other. It's one of the other.
So listeners should know this is a very dynamic podcast, and one of our listeners I know who listens to us was just messaging me, and I just texted them. I'm in the middle of recording a podcast. Just for the record, on this episode, Josh's topic is the worst.
Why are you not? See, okay, so this is if you remember, there was a Justin B last week who wrote in about why you couldn't just control yourself and not eat while you were recording on the podcast.
Yes, I haven't eaten anything, by the way, this whole episode.
You haven't, but your phone is on and you're checking it and you've gotten up three times.
I've eaten crow.
You have. And any crow. Compassion you have for Josh's poor.
It's unbelievable.
Suffering.
It's amazing.
I love Josh more than anyone else.
The feeling is mutual.
On this podcast. Who lives in Philadelphia or outside of Philadelphia. Wait,
you know, your material today is you're spot on today, Omar. I gotta tell you. You started off very slow and it's been a nice
program. And by the way, as our YouTube listeners will see, I'm having a phenomenal hair day. I mean, top notch.
It's
like I look like I came back from Turkey. You know, Turkey? Men fly to Turkey to get their hair done?
No, they don't.
Never heard that.
Type in men Turkey airplane. Everyone gets their cut off, and they have seeds put in their head. It's a thing.
I'm not.
It's like one tenth of the cost of like the U.S.
Men,
swear to God, Turkey is the place men go to have hair plugs put in. So the air ride coming back from Turkey to the States, has all these bald men.
I thought you meant haircut, like a hair.
No, hair plugs. Hair plugs.
Hair plugs. No,
my hair is very full today.
Yeah, that's the difference. But you don't have hair plugs.
No.
That he would admit.
No?
No, I would not. I would admit that.
Okay.
You would?
I think you would. I think you would too.
I think so. Yeah. So Josh, are you traumatized at all? Are you worried about not being traumatized? How should we settle this up?
It was kind of like there's
Josh having emotions.
I want to know if there's something wrong with me that when I recalled those two stories at the stretch zone with those people.
Yeah.
There was not an ounce of, oh my God, and like, you know, like a chill through my body, like recalling the Bud Dwyer shooting or the Chris McAuliffe tragedy. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's not like it was awful. I remember like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. I remember definitely feeling something at the time. But I just think as a kid, you're very impressionable at those ages and that some things carry with you. And 9/11 carries with me, but the watching a guy blow his head off live on TV didn't, and I don't know why.
You know what I'm going to say? I think you can go either way. I could either say, yes, there's something wrong with you, which I think 90% of listeners probably feel that way. Mm-hmm. But the other you could take it positively is that you're resilient. You're able to take trauma and kind of compartmentalize it and move on. That's not an unhealthy thing.
Thank you.
Or it could be incredibly unhealthy. I'm not quite sure which one it is, but I'm going to say you're resilient. How about that?
I like it. I like it. All right. Good. All right.
How do you feel? That's all I need to hear. That fair?
Yes. And actually it brings to mind something, and Josh is anything except for resilient. I agree.
All right. Good. Mm. So there.
All right. Good. This therapy. Turned out well. Turned out really well.
This is a fantastic podcast. I'm going to get my speaker fixed. We have done some deep work on you, Josh. This is fantastic.
Right. It's explosive. It's explosive.
Instagram to see what that means.
Yes.
All right. Let me end up with my topic here.
All right, bring
Dave. I need some output. I actually need an answer for my topic this week. Okay.
All right. I like that.
So I've been asked to participate in a non-for-profit organization here in St. Louis.
Okay.
If they ever hear this podcast, I will soon be an ex-member of this organization, I'm sure. But they asked for my bio. And so I was like, yeah, here's my bio. They're like, no, I'm going to send you a form that kind of fills out some so we can kind of craft your bio because they have a certain amount of words they can use or whatever. So put my bio together. And one of the questions was, what are your hobbies? So I said, okay, hobbies. What are my hobbies? I do not know how to answer this question.
House of the Dragon first?
This is the problem. So number one hobby would probably be video games, right?
Yeah,
that's if I'm really honest with myself.
Yeah.
Second is binge watching, you know,
Yeah, TV, you're going to answer movies. Like a 12-year-old boy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I read books, I suppose, reading, I thought, but, you know, I wouldn't put, I guess I read some serious books. There's, you know.
Wait. How many books do you read like a month?
I've really fallen behind. I would say I was averaging one a month for a while.
That's pretty
there.
Good. That's
I
pretty
feel
good.
Like the
until
group
when?
I work...
Until this thing started?
Yes. Well, until I got PlayStation 5, probably.
Yeah, that's the PS5 was created.
And I'm like, okay, I like to play sports, I guess, but I don't really play sports anymore. I like watching sports. Yeah. I'm a Packer
Did you put
fan.
Coloring? Jigsaw puzzles?
No, I could put. I love jigsaw puzzles.
You do like jigsaw puzzles, yeah.
And I have a podcast, which I also really don't know if I want to advertise. You know, in front right. of this august assembly of people.
Yes.
So
yes,
I have no idea what to put down.
Can
so,
I ask you a question?
What?
Can you tell us what the nonprofit does, or you're not at liberty to say that? Is it a very serious subject?
Yeah,
it's
sort of a leadership development organization.
Wait a second.
What?
Are there non-serious nonprofits?
100%.
Otherwise, why else would you do a nonprofit?
Can I tell you something? The amount of nonprofits out there is obscene, and a lot of them are literally ridiculous.
They're tax loopholes.
They are. And my friend,
it's like people who move to Puerto Rico.
I'm not making this up. My friend, this is a buddy from mine from college, and we were away on one of our college weekends. And he was talking about how he was asked by a guy that we all went to college with that we know, but he was friends with him. We kind of weren't. He said he wants me to be on his board of a foundation that he's building. And we're like, oh, really? What happened? Why is he doing that? Why is he starting this? And I'm not making this up. He said his son, when he was real young, like 4 years old, almost died drowning in a pool. And I'm like, and we all immediately went, oh, God, that's awful. It's unbelievable. Then I sat and thought about it. I went, wait a second. You're having a foundation for kids who almost die drowning in a pool? That's really not a thing.
Yeah, what's
I mean,
their mission
he didn't
statement?
Die. He's fine. And I asked him, I'm like, is the kid all right? He goes, oh, yeah, he's perfectly fine. Who starts a foundation for that?
Well, what does the foundation do?
What?
Build fences.
What does the foundation do?
That's what I want to know. I don't think he really knew at the time because it was
all right,
like,
you got to find out the name of this and bring it back to the podcast.
It's hilarious. So when you talk about is the foundation serious or the nonprofit serious, believe me, that's a legitimate question.
The name of that foundation Josh was referring to was called Throw Your Kid in the Water.
You were on such a streak and you turned into clunker there. It's all right. It happens. You have to shoot your shot.
Yeah.
That's
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got to do quantity and workshop it.
That's right.
Anyway, so what do I say? What do I say for my hobbies?
You didn't answer my question.
It's a serious place.
Is it health related?
No.
You know what? I have two words for you. Very easy.
What?
Other people.
My hobby is other people?
Other people's stories.
What do you mean?
It's empathic. It's like simple. It's incredibly powerful and profound.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
My hobby is other people's stories.
No, that's complete bullshit. Everyone's going to see through that.
I can't get away with saying
Occam's
that.
Razor, Josh. Occam's Razor.
That's not Occam's Razor either. That's it.
Whatever. It's close. It's
that has
close.
Nothing to do with Occam's Razor.
Well, can you imagine I put that down and everyone's coming up and telling me their stories I don't care about? Like, I don't
you don't
want
that.
That's what life is. Isn't that what we all do all day?
Yeah, here's what you do, Dave. Here's what you do. Here's the good news. The good news is no one fact checks hobbies. They fact check where you went to school. They fact check your degree. They fact check where you worked. You can't fact check hobbies.
Yeah, but what if I put skiing down and someone's like, hey.
No, don't put skiing down.
Oh, okay.
Put down volleyball.
Well, I can't put down volleyball. That's like
why you like volleyball.
One, it's not a current hobby. I'm not playing anymore because I'm too old. And
that's true. Put down reading. No one's going to do anything.
Okay,
with
so
reading.
Reading. I'll
there
put down
you go.
Reading.
Put down reading. Put down technology. That's pretty broad and ambiguous.
Yeah,
and it sounds adult. You need adult stuff to put on there. The problem is a lot of your hobbies are that of a 12 to 13-year-old boy.
Well, I love it. That's why they're hobbies. Why does anyone want to – and I don't
have – the same hobbies.
Yeah. But I don't have woodworking or, you know – I guess I put travel.
Travel. Right? There you go. Travel.
Just reading, travel. Spending time with family.
That's not a hobby.
Yeah, that's a requirement.
You're required to do that by law.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a good one. Suffering okay. Fools.
You know, when I thought you were knocked down, Omar, you bounced right back up. I thought you were down for the count. And here you go, and you bounce right back up. Same
suffering
confidence.
Fools.
Well done.
Great hobby.
Fools. I think that, by the way, would be hilarious to put down.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be hilarious. Suffering.
It's very rare when I get Dave to laugh. Very rare.
How about busting other people's chops, like the article said?
That's right.
Suffering
Dave,
fools.
Why don't you put down movies?
Well,
that's a good one. You watch a lot of movies. Everybody likes movies.
Well, that's an accurate one.
Yeah, right, accurate.
Yeah.
Put down movies.
So I got reading, travel, technology, and movies. That's
great. I love it. No one's going to question
maybe,
it.
Maybe the...
Listen, they ask you this question not for to see if you fit in or to see if your hobbies are committed.
I have a good one. Ready?
They ask you the hobbies question to make sure that you don't put down like, bestiality or something like where they don't want, I don't want you. This is no good.
Intent,
that's why they ask you.
Yeah, that's fair. Right? I have another idea. Yeah. Intently, this is a Wisconsin base.
No.
Where are they based?
St. Louis.
Same thing. Oh. Midwest.
Okay. So I was saying,
is that going to change your answer?
Yes. I'm going to still say the answer I was going to have. Intently watching Aaron Rodgers' continued demise.
Okay. That's good. That's good. A funny one. If I put down suffering fools, intensely watching Aaron Rodgers' demise.
You're not getting the role.
And Red Dead Redemption 2. Like that I get away with that?
That's amazing.
No, you are not. You are
that's
not.
I'm the most interesting person on the board.
Yes.
You know? You've become the Dos Equis man. As soon as you put that.
I do think though that, you know, you can, if this is something that's you really want and it's other people are applying for, this will be a way to really stand out in a good way.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I'm going to disagree with that. This is a situation where they're asking you that to get rid of the weirdos. That's all this is. You're not pressing them with your hobbies.
Okay, stay on the fairway. I agree with Josh.
Stay on the fairway. This is to weed out the weirdos. That's what this is for.
Yes. Travel, reading, technology, movies. Yeah. All right.
Right.
Thank you. That's what I'm going with.
Done. Those are very innocuous and adult things to do.
I can defend those. Yeah.
And you can defend all of them. Exactly.
Right. See, I should put suffering fools at the back of it, though. That would be so.
Yeah, that's a big roll of the dice there.
At least people will know where I stand.
Is great. Suffering fools.
Reading, trending, travel. Another one. Trending. How about this? Trending toward mediocrity.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if you went in for an interview, like a real thing, and you put that on your resume, and they'd be like, "So I see you like suffering fools. Can you talk a little bit about that?"
I know it's a hobby. Didn't say I like it. I'm saying it's something I'm forced to do.
Yeah. Hobbies are things you like doing. You like suffering fools.
If I put reverting to the mean and just leave that out there, that could go lots of ways.
That's true,
right?
Yeah.
You know what you should do? I got it. Just put down hobbies. Yeah. Right there.
Hobbies. Other hobbies.
Other hobbies.
I like enjoying my hobbies. Yeah, that's how I'll put down.
I enjoy hobbies. That's my main hobby.
How about hobby horses?
Horses. Yeah.
I can put that.
I make hobby
All right. Horses. I think let's end this on a high note. Right, I like the suffering fools. That's good.
That is good. That is very good.
Let's wrap it up for this week. On behalf of the FTS crew, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show. Reach out to us again at friends@fts.media or YouTube or at Friends Talking Shop on Instagram, TikTok. Reach out to us and comment. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
So until next time, see you later, everybody.
See ya.
Smile later.